You know, it's so important for the Christian to see himself as God sees him. Like Martin Luther said, he said, "Lord Jesus, thou art my righteousness, and I am thy sin. Thou hast taken what was mine and given me what was thine."
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
It's great to have you tuning in for our midweek broadcast. Well, today's message is going to lift your spirits as we learn from Pastor Bill's study today. It's called Salvation by Faith Alone. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn to Romans this morning. We are in chapter 4, continuing our in-depth study of the book of Romans. We left off last time about justification, the great doctrine of justification by faith, which is hardly ever taught anymore. Most Christians don't even know what the word justification or propitiation, what it really means. Well, we learned last week all about that. This morning, though, we're going to talk about being saved. How are we saved? You know, salvation, coming to Christ, salvation can only happen one way. Salvation is by faith alone. Say that with me. Salvation is by faith alone. It's so important, listen carefully now, that Paul the Apostle, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, used the entire chapter, or entire chapter 4, to prove his point. And he points to two of the greatest individuals in the Old Covenant, which would be King David. Through him came, of course, the Messiah, our Lord. And then Abraham. Abraham is an incredible man. If you looked today, or even just a brief search, for example, of one person who is honored and revered by more people in the world right now than any other person, you know, it would be Abraham. He's literally revered and honored in three faiths: Judaism, Christianity, and even in the Muslim world. He is recorded there in their Quran that he is to be the leader of all the people, meaning of all the nations. And of course, I'm not partial to that book, you know, but I'm just saying he is in all of that as well. So we look here tonight, or this morning, or this afternoon, could be tomorrow, I'm not for sure yet. And we think about, you know, salvation by faith alone. There are a lot of people that don't believe in that. They believe that it's salvation by faith, yes, but plus something else. Anytime you add to the good news of Jesus Christ, you have religion. You do not have the truth of God, amen? Salvation, coming to Christ, can only happen one way, and that is by faith alone. And so Paul the Apostle, he gives us a living, or a flesh and blood, I should say, example through Abraham, and he even mentions David, beginning in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "What shall we say that Abraham, our father, or our forefather, has found according to the flesh?" In other words, was Abraham saved or justified by anything he did in his own being? For he says, "For if Abraham was declared righteous by God, in perfect right standing with God," in other words, justified, "by works, his own labor, he has something to brag about, something to boast about, but not before God." Justification by works is the direct opposite of justification by faith alone. If salvation, right standing with God, which is justification, if it's found through human merit or human effort, then it was completely unnecessary for Christ to come to this earth, to be born from a virgin, and go to the cross and die and go back to heaven. Amen? I mean, it's all in vain if we can work hard enough. Now, I know that a lot of people say, "Well, now, Bill, wait a minute. How about the book of James? Because the James gives us, it says that Abraham was justified by works." Matter of fact, it says in James 2:21, let me read it, "Was not Abraham, our father, justified," declared righteous, in other words, justified by works, "when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. Now listen carefully so there's no confusion. James, the epistle of James, is not dealing in that subject or in that context with salvation, okay? The reason I know that is because he was dealing with the result of salvation. And the reason that I know that is because Abraham was saved long before Genesis 22 when he offered Isaac up. Amen? Okay, it's important to remember that. Not only that, what we need to learn from that is that that was the evidence of him being justified, or the evidence that he did believe in God. That's why, you know, the evidence of our justification is, yes, we have works. Amen? Very important. Now, so Paul, what is he going to do here? He's going to prove it, and look how he proves it in verse 3. He says, "For what does the Scripture say?" I pray that every believer would hold on to that, and that the church would hold on to that and go, what does the Bible say? Not what the world says, not what my friends say, but what God says. Amen? And he's going to prove his point, and he proves it. He says, well, what does the Word of God say? What did God say about it? And he's going to quote Genesis 15:6. He said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? For righteousness. Now listen, Scripture says that Abraham believed that God existed. No. It says that he believed in God. That's not what the Word of God just said. It says that he rested his entire faith on what God has said. That is so important that we do the exact same thing. There's so many of us today, you know, we can quote John 10:10, for example. You know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, you know, if we're going to have life more abundantly, we have to be in the abundant one. Amen? And whenever we speak of abundancy, having much, it speaks of having much provision and how we need that today. And the only way to have the provision of God is to abide in the vine. There's no other way. He is our strength. He is our resource. He's everything that we need. Without Jesus, we can do absolutely nothing in our life, believe me, or nothing for him. So what did he believe in? What did God say that Abraham believed? Let me just give you a few scriptures from Genesis. When the Lord spoke to Abraham by a vision, let me read to you from Genesis 15:2. It says, but Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Then Abraham said, look, you've given me no offspring. You've given me no children. Indeed, the one born in my house is my heir. He says, here's my servant. Let's just let him be my heir. And remember when God called Abraham, 75 years of age. 10 years has passed from the time there that I'm reading in our text. And he and Sarah are getting older. And of course, they're still childless. And so the Lord is saying, or Abraham saying, God, listen, man, I'm 85. Time is running out. Don't you know? I'm an old man. And it says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to Abram saying, this one, meaning Eleazar, will not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. So he's reminding Abram of the promise all the way back in Genesis 12, you know, that he will make of him a great nation. And he says, and here it comes. And then God brought Abram outside and said, now look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, God said, so shall your descendants be. You know what? Don't you just love the Lord? There he is. He takes you outside. I mean, he says, Abram, come on now. Let me show you something. You see all of those stars up there? I know them all by name. I numbered them and placed them exactly there. I want you to start counting right now, Abram. If you can do that, I want you to know those will be the amount of your descendants upon this earth. And not only that, if you read back, I'm in Genesis 15, but if you read back, I believe it's in Genesis 13, he told Abram again, he said, instead of the stars, what did he say? He used the sand, the dust. He says, so shall your descendants be. God, I have found in my own life that he always gives us a visual to increase our faith. Amen? He loves to do that. I just see Abraham going outside looking up, and he is totally blown away. And then it says, here's what he did. And Abram believed. That's it. He believed in the Lord, it says in Genesis 15:6, and he was accounted to him for righteousness. What did Abraham believe? He believed, so shall your descendants be. And what was the result of him believing God? The Bible says right there, look at it. It says he accounted it to him for righteousness. That's how a person is saved. You believe what God says in his word. For me, it was, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what I believed. That's what that person prayed with me. And there, you know, here we are. Abraham is saved. Now he's justified all the way back in Genesis. And not by keeping the law, because the law is not going to be given for another 400 years. And not by circumcision, because he was not circumcised at the time. That didn't happen until he was 99. And in this passage, he's 85 years of age. So what did Abraham do? He did the only thing that a person can do without doing anything else, and that is simply believing what God has said. Salvation, being rescued from this world, being rescued from the power of sin and from Satan, there's only one way. You simply believe in your heart. Salvation is by faith alone, and here is the result when that happens. Look at verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, that's faith, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Listen, that word accounted there is a bookkeeping term. Just in chapter 4 here alone, it's mentioned 11 times and used differently. For example, that word means counted, it means reckoned, it means credited, deposited to one's account, and the word that I used last Sunday, the word imputed. Now, that's a glorious, wonderful word. He simply believed in his heart. Aren't you just amazed how easy the new birth is? Just faith. You know, I mentioned to you many times, if you've come into church, and I said about faith, and I've used this same example, but to me, it's always so powerful. I mean, you didn't wake up this morning, have your breakfast, look over at your wife or whatever, make a phone call to someone and say, listen, I'm really worried about going to church this morning. I'm worried that when I get there and I sit down in that chair, it's not going to support me. It's going to fall to pieces. There's not one person in this chapel this morning that thought like that. Well, see, that's faith. You just came and you sat down, you rested in that chair because it has your name on it. And you rested in that chair. Why? Because you rested all of your faith. You knew it was going to support you. That's what faith is. You just simply, I know God said it and it's going to happen. I don't have to even understand it. All I have to do is simply believe it. And the moment that Abraham did that, that word impute, or in other words, to credit or deposit to one's credit, it literally means a bookkeeping term. And if you put out a scale right here, it means that God took all of his sin and into his credit, into his bank account, he gave unto Abraham himself, meaning all of God's divine assets were transferred into Abram's account. Just like when we are saved. That's called justification, remember? And all of a sudden, you know, God looks at him as like he has never done anything wrong, like he has never sinned. And we know that Abraham sinned. He lied a lot, didn't he? Yes. Oh, God is so good. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he made him who knew no sin, sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about, that imputation. When you take something that belongs to one person and you put it into the account of the other. And as we already know, again, like last Sunday, is that God puts into our account the spotless, sinless, perfect record of Jesus Christ. That, loved one, is justification, and it's a real transfer. It really happened. You know, it's so important for the Christian to see himself as God sees him. So vital that we do that. Because like Martin Luther said, he said, Lord Jesus, thou art my righteousness and I am thy sin. Thou hast taken what was mine and given me what was thine. God is so good. That's why the Bible tells us in Colossians 1:22, it says, in the body of his flesh through death to present us holy and blameless. And listen to this, and above reproach in his sight. Above reproach, hello. I mean, I was yelling at a guy on the freeway this morning. You know what I'm saying? No. Now watch this. It says now in verse 4, it says, now to him who works, labors, the wages are not counted. Now, again, that word counted there is the same word to impute, credit to one's account. So it says the wages are not counted as grace, but to debt. In other words, if you work all week and you go up to your employer and he gives you your check, you don't look at your employer and say, thank you for that wonderful gift you just gave me. Do you? If you do, come to the altar after and we'll pray with you. I've worked all week. I earned that. Amen? That's what God is saying. He's saying, listen, if salvation is by works, any work at all, if it's by any human merit, listen to me now, God owes you. God owes you eternal life. God owes you heaven if you think that you can earn it. See, you can't work your way into being righteous. Because, see, we don't have the righteousness that we needed. Only God has that righteousness that we need. And the only way to get it, since he demands it, is to believe in your heart. It's simply salvation by faith alone and not anything else, not any kind of work. And now listen to me. A person, did you know a person doesn't really have to work hard to get to heaven? No. Or to be saved? Look what it says in verse 5. It says, oh no, but to him who what? Does not work. A person who ceases every effort to obtain God's favor, if you will. It says, to him who doesn't work, oh no, here it is, but believes, there's that word again, on him who justifies, declares righteous the ungodly, his faith, there's that word again, accounted, imputed, credited, if you will. His faith is accounted to righteousness. Now, no one can be saved under any system of works. And there are major denominations around the world here in America that it's salvation, but it's salvation plus this. You have to do this or you're not really saved. You know, and you think about those things and you say, no, that doesn't work. You see, God can't justify that at all. God doesn't justify good people. He doesn't justify godly people, for there is no godly people. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Amen? Yes. Someone put it this way. It says, God justifies the ungodly because there are no godly for him to justify. Listen, the problem today is that man doesn't make much out of sin, but God does. We don't want to say we're ungodly, but we are ungodly. Now I know we're in Christ, yes. But the world, there was no one that doeth good, remember? No, not one. The Bible tells us in Romans 5, 6, it says, when we were still without strength, when we were helpless, when we were hopeless, it says, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Not the godly, the ungodly. You see, when you know in your heart, and believe in your heart that you are truly accepted by God in Christ, your whole world changes. When you know in your heart and believe it that God loves you just as much as he loves his only begotten son, it changes your life. When you realize that you really are a son and a daughter of God, everything changes. When you realize that when you fail, when your life falls apart, when you don't know what to do anymore, even when you are doubting or maybe walking in unbelief, God's love never changes for you. Never. It never goes up or down. He never looks down upon you. He never says a bad word about you. Why? You're in Christ. You're in the Lord. You're saved. Listen, whenever you believe God's word, you finally understand that you don't have to earn anything. You don't have to earn his love or his favor. I'm already favored by God. I'm already desired by God, just like you are. Amen? And if we get in trouble, what do? We run to the throne of grace, and there we'll find the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all sin. Amen? That's what it's all about. It's by faith and by faith alone. But no, we have to work. No, listen to me. Works, remember what I said last Sunday. Works do not add one thing. I don't. You give $50 million to help Calvary Chapel. You know, good, well, bless you for doing that, and I would encourage you if you have that. But it's not going to get you in with God. There's not one work that you can do, or even after you're saved, to add to your righteous standing, which God demanded and then God through grace gave to you. There's nothing you can do, not one thing. But listen, if you're in Christ, the Bible says in Colossians, what does it say? You are complete. That's pleroo in the Greek. And it means to be overflowing. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You're finished in Christ. In other words, he's going to get you through. Man, listen, when you understand that no matter what you do, nothing will add to the righteousness that God has placed into your account. And the reason is because it's not your righteousness. It's his righteousness. Amen? And it's unchangeable. Oh, I celebrate. Listen, do you know why? Why do we do works? Why do Christians serve? Why do Christians go to foreign countries? Why do we give? Why do we go back and teach our kids? Why do we read our Bibles? You know why we do works? Because we love the Lord. We love the Lord. I'll never forget Pastor Chuck. He said this. He said to all the pastors, he says, listen to me. He said, it is impossible to believe in Jesus Christ and do nothing. I said, yes. That shook some of you up, didn't it? It's impossible to be a believer. See, the evidence of our justification is that we're moving on. We're doing what God said in his word. Amen? That means he really does live in us. Pastor Chuck, he said, no, listen. Love is the highest force for the believer, and it's the only acceptable motive for serving God, and he accepts absolutely no other. You know, Pastor Chuck, if you know, he's gone home now, but he had a way to look at you. Not here. He was always smiling, you know. But when you were alone, when you're just the guys or something, I said, I'd get in the back row. Because he would look, he said, listen. You know, he was serious. He says, you know what? If love doesn't motivate you to serve Jesus, then you need to stop. You need to get out of the ministry because it's not worth 2 cents to God. Boy, that is a good work. You see, why do we work? Why do we do things for the Lord? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8, it says, for grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Here it comes. Not of works. You can't earn it. Lest anyone should boast. No. Salvation is by faith alone, loved one. Now, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Here it is. For good works. The things that God has prepared for us that we should walk in them. Salvation by faith alone. Works do not result in salvation. They result from salvation. So what does Paul do now? He's going to quote Psalm 32 that David penned about his sin with Bathsheba and his having Uriah, her husband, murdered. Now watch what he does here. You know, remember that Abraham now lived before the law. David lived under the law, okay? All right, now watch this. Look at this imputed righteousness in verse 6. Watch. He says, just as David also describes the happiness, the joy, the blessedness of the man whom God, what? Imputes. There's that word again, that transfer, if you will, into your account, who imputes righteousness or that right standing with God. And he does so how? Apart from works. See, what did Paul do? He approved it by scripture. He went to King David and said, listen, King David and I, we're on the same page together. Now, so we move from that imputed righteousness to the imputed sin. Verse 7, David continues the psalm. He goes, and blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And don't miss this. Blessed, oh, how happy, how victorious is the man to whom the Lord shall what? Not impute sin. There's that same word again. Transfer over a credit to your account. Listen, by God's grace, David grabbed a hold of that because he was forgiven of all that he had done, you know, with the adultery, the lying, and the murdering of Uriah. Listen, David and Bathsheba, did they break the law? And the law commanded them to be stoned to death. Now listen, right here, God forgave David apart from the law.
Once again, we're out of time, but please don't miss tomorrow's program when Pastor Bill will conclude this message.
Hey, and thanks as always for listening to the broadcast. We appreciate you so much. Be blessed today, and so long for now.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.